got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow, got that string around my finger.
All right, that has shades of Sinatra, maybe a little bit of Jack Jones, maybe even a little bit of Bobby Darin, if you remember that. But that gentleman, in addition to being one of our foremost jazz singers in the country, is probably an actor whose face you know. He's been in over 100 films, including Die Hard. You might remember him as Franz Sanchez, one of the top three Bond villains in License to Kill. Scores of television programs, but more to the point, and as we continue with what I'm now calling our Eastwood project, Robert Davi is a known conservative. Morgan Brittany said, if you want to talk about Hollywood conservatives, you need to talk to this gentleman. Robert joins us now. Thanks for being with us, Robert.
Well, thank you for having me, Fred. How are you?
I'm great, but I want to find out how you are.
You've got to tell them also Goonies and Profilers.
Goonies and Profilers and... And this tribute to Sinatra is terrific. I was seriously debating whether I wanted to talk to you or just listen to your CD.
Thanks. Well, it went to number 6 on Billboard Jazz, and people can go to DaviSingSinatra.com, and they can get it on Amazon and iTunes. But I recently headlined the Venetian.
I know that.
In Las Vegas. And one thing to digress a second, Fred.
Sure.
But it's not really digressing because it's not about me wanting to do an album and wanting to sing all of a sudden. I mean, I sang as a kid. But the Great American Songbook is the Shakespeare of America. It's the golden age of American music, and it's what made the world fall in love with our country, and it's what made got us through very difficult times. My grandparents, my parents, and your listeners. And it was a cultural expression that is purely American, and it comes out of the struggle of the black jump and jazz blues artists, the immigrants like Johnny Mercer, who's been around since the Revolutionary War, the German, Irish, Dutch, Scottish, Hispanic, natives, people that have been around America for the last 250 years, and then also the sons and daughters of Jewish immigrants, a large portion of the songbook. You can say without the Jews, we wouldn't have an American songbook. So the amalgam of that cultural working together created the movement in American music, which is purely our own, and also it is filled with romance and positive. So there's a large idea behind me wanting to sing and do these concerts. As I said, I did the Venetian and Sinatra, my tribute to Sinatra. Not only did I do my first film with him, but Sinatra was a guy that was the first artist to come out against anti-Semitism and racial bigotry of any time. And the temperature of our country right now, the extreme divisiveness with both political parties failing all of us, I feel, and there's a lack of romance, a lack of civility and nobility in our discourse. And this music, was filled with poetry.
Well, given your background with that music and the fact that obviously you have built a career as a jazz singer as well as a successful actor, how does that square with your conservative views? Has that ever gotten in the way of your desire to sing or to perform?
In what way?
Well, I mean, denied work.
You mean blacklisted?
Yeah.
Obviously, there is a certain kind of thing that can happen, and it has happened, because I've been quite outspoken for many years. But it comes from, all business is connections, and it's all social. You know, business is social contacts. So because you have a certain differing point of view than someone else, and especially in Hollywood, there is a vehement oppositional you're either with us or against us in some ways. And because of that, you may not be invited to the parties or invited to the table, or, you know, they might say, I'm not going to hire that guy, forget it. You know, not really knowing the full spectrum of your political ideology or beliefs. You know, again, I don't care who loves who. You know, I'm libertarian in that respect, and that get out of our lives.
Sure.
Period. But in terms of other aspects, and I believe that we have to respect each other deeply. But in spite of any of that, there was an absolute, as you can see, it's very difficult in that town.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm just wondering who you can hang out with. I mean, are there enough conservatives like yourself to form at least a support group?
Well, there's always a support group involved in anything. You know what I mean? You find like-minded people, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, you can find many of that. But, you know, you can also, one-on-one, there are certain friends of mine. We may be diametrically opposed, but they may be individual.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, water seeks its own level sometimes. And also, I kind of reach out. It's not about separation. For me, I don't want to convince or give my point of view to people that think the same. I'm trying to understand the other side and have them understand what I'm trying to, where I'm coming from.
Yeah, well, to that point, I was talking to Morgan Brittany about this yesterday, and she has experienced a lot of resistance and sometimes an unwillingness to even listen to a conservative point of view in a town that is so decidedly liberal. Have you run into that as well?
You can. You have people that are not open-minded, nor do they want to hear an opposing point of view or a differing point of view. Or they are devoid of the facts.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote an article recently on Big Hollywood about free speech, and some of the criticism, it was very good criticisms or responses, comments, but one person mentioned something that had no clue, really, of who I was, nor how outspoken I've been. And that was somebody coming from a conservative.
Hmm.
That was not realizing, you know what I mean? So people, in terms of their own ignorance or lack of being able to want to explore an issue and find out what's happening underneath something, that's where we have an issue. We have an issue with a riots being blamed on a immature, divisive film when you have how many times is? It goes on and on. Without, you know, the beheading of a young Christian convert,
of course.
Christian convert.
Yeah,
you know, and nobody talked about that. There was no outrage on that.
No, and there won't be. I'm curious to know though. Did you find a kind of conservative value system in midlife, or have you always embraced that?
Well, I had a long. I wrote a couple of articles for the Washington Times. One being about our truth, about my dad. My dad was a guy that his father was from Sicily,
mm-hmm.
And his father enlisted in the U.S. infantry and got an oak leaf cluster and a Purple Heart. My father was then went into the Navy in World War II, and he got a Purple Heart. He was a gunner on a merchant marine ship. And the ship was torpedoed. He was in the water for 3 days. Never spoke out about his experience. But every 4th of July, every Memorial Day, every Veterans Day, till he died in his mid-50s, he put on his Navy uniform and raised the American flag. And in the mid-60s, when I was a young kid, he gave me a couple of books. One was called None Dare Call It Treason by John Stormer.
I know that.
And the other was Masters of Deceit.
Mm-hmm.
And both those books, at an early age, shaped an understanding, a worldview of what to look for in the future. And as I got older and I saw circumstances in America, let's take the most fundamental. And when I was a kid, prayer from school all of a sudden was disbanded.
I remember when that happened.
Prayer in school. Not only prayer in school, a moment of silence. No, we're not doing it.
Right.
So what happens now? We have a bunch of students that have no moral compass. We have chaos. We have killings. We have disrespect because we took out a moment of silence or prayer in school. So that's just on a minor level, but it's what the educational process has been absolutely chipped away at continually, continually, and continually. So it leaves us in there's something rotten in the state of Denmark.
Do you try to choose your projects? Of course, it's not as true in music. If you're singing Sinatra, I think that may be one of the few themes that anybody in any part of the political spectrum can gravitate to. But if you're choosing a film or a TV project, do you look for something that has a conservative theme, or are you still kind of obliged to take what comes along?
Well, I'm an actor. I'm performing a character, and I'm going to play a character. You know, my life is, my work is one thing, and, you know, it's not like... when you get, for instance, the film I directed, The Dukes. I co-wrote and directed the film The Dukes.
Mm-hmm.
That has my statement on it.
Okay.
Because it's me. The film that the music and what I'm doing with the music, that's me. The rest of it is, you know, I've got five kids that I've got to try to support in this tough economy, and also, you know, being wounded from my political ideologies and
sure.
and Hollywood, you know. So you're not apt to be I picked and choose over the years, yeah, but not based solely on conservative views or values in terms of entertainment.
Speaking of your kids, and this is something that Morgan and I have discussed as well, because she's got kids that are being dragged kicking and screaming towards her conservative views and values. What do you do to try to get your kids to understand where you're coming from or perhaps even support what you believe in?
They sit down with me. One in particular, my little son, my 11-year-old boy, Nicholas, who's
uh-huh.
quite amazing.
Uh-huh.
I have five kids, and he's the one that's the most interesting in terms of being latching on to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll watch CNN and MSNBC and Fox News. I will go back and forth, and I will watch, and I will this. I watch the DNC. I watch the RNC.
Right.
He's heard me talk. He's heard me discuss. He makes his own opinions, and he is able to, you know, believe it or not, Fred, the kid picks out the truth. You know what I mean?
It sounds like his dad is teaching him something he's not. It sounds like something. It sounds like he's getting something that he's probably not getting in public school these days, which is learning how to use critical thinking, and that's obviously coming from his dad.
Well, he goes to a Catholic school.
Oh, okay.
The twins go to a Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing of it is he's but that doesn't matter. I mean, because, you know, look at when my daughters went to a school,
mm-hmm.
another school, they had a Time magazine article. Leader of the Pack, Al Gore, was on the cover.
Yeah, right. I remember that.
But even then, the Time magazine for kids. But even that Time magazine for kids, they swayed the article in favor of Al Gore.
Sure.
Now the children has to vote for president based on the article they read.
Right.
Based on the article they read. And, you know, this was very, very interesting what happened in there.
Yeah.
It wasn't really it wasn't a discussion. They were told to read a very biased article and
base
who they would vote for in the school.
Well, Robert, listen, we're going to have to leave it there. We salute what you're doing, and keep singing, keep speaking out, and hopefully keep us informed as to what Hollywood conservatives are really doing, because this is a voice that I think we need to hear more of.
Thank you, Fred.
Thanks for being.
One of the things that you should remember, though, is that culture is the most important. Culture and politics. Culture is important. The left understands it. The right does not.
You're absolutely right about that. That's a great point to go out on. Robert Dobby, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine.